This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta, we got through it. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is the Monday after the draft, and Friday, Mike, we talked about who would we be talking to? Who would we be talking about? It was Kyle Pitts. That was a no-brainer. And if you're still not sold on that one, well, I feel bad for you. But what happened over this weekend proved one thing to me about our Atlanta Falcons, guys. This is not a rebuild. They think they can win now. They think they can fill the void of some of these players that, you know, we feel like aren't maybe, you know, good enough. Maybe some of the things that we've been lacking. Mike Bell, I thought they addressed all the things we had talked about. And you had been preaching O-line, O-line, O-line. Well, they went O-line, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man, got some O-line depth and some guys that are going to battle for jobs, you know, which is something you and I have talked about. And you said, man, I've been banging the drum for O-line for years. It's not sexy, but it's something we've been missing. And that's why, guys, when you're the worst, one of the worst running teams in the NFL 3 years in a row. I mean, we'll talk about defense in a second, Carl. But I love Jalen Mayfield. He'll be 21 here in a couple of weeks. He was graded as a middle to late second rounder, so technically that's kind of a value pick right there in the third round. Richie Grant, I've mentioned him a million times, a safety who can cover like a corner when need be, but hits can be used all over the field, perfect leg for what we think Dean Pease wants to do. But getting back to the O-line, yeah, man, I love the fact that they doubled down on center, so Drew Dahlman can either battle with Hennessy, maybe get a shot at the guard position, and they're bringing in guys, and they brought in a ton of guys, too, in undrafted free agents, which teams do every year. And I think maybe some Falcon fans, Carl, were a little let down that we didn't get a running back, and I just blogged about it. Our Knox, our webcaster, is going to put that one up in a bit. But, I mean, you still have a guy in Davis, they believe. Maybe Kadri Allison gets a new life in the new regime, and we also picked up a kid from Louisville who's actually pretty darn good. It wasn't even drafted. So, I mean, that surprised you the most, though, if there's one criticism we didn't go running back, or what'd you think?
Yeah, I think Mike Davis is going to get a brunt of the carries, and I'm okay with that. You know, listen, he's proven he can be a complimentary back, but I also think this is going to give him an opportunity to shine. I think he fits what Arthur Smith wants to do. You're talking about Hawkins, the kid out of Louisville, who, you know, he's 5'9", not big, okay? But he rushed for 1,500 yards in 2019, was an all-ACC second teamer. And so here's a guy that, again, you find those diamonds in the rough, Mike, and I don't want to, you know, sound like a guy that can, you know, you can just go find running backs. But I've been saying this for years now. It's not a position that I value in the draft unless that player is extremely special. Now, I think Najee Harris is going to be really good with the Steelers. Problem is, he's going to an offensive line that's kind of being rebuilt right now. So, you know, even as talented as he is, and I always say a good running back, a great running back makes your O-line look better. But for us, in the position we're in, how do we get better, and how do we get some of the nuts and bolts taken care of? I thought for the first draft, again, and we'll see in 3 years, we'll know how good this draft class is. And I think it's going to be a really good one. But for Terry Fontenot, Mike, I thought he did a really good job of addressing the needs. We didn't reach. And Mike's absolutely right about the free safety guys. I think we all get caught up in names, and you start to hear names over a course of 3 to 5 weeks before the draft. Richie Grant is the best safety in this class. I'm going to say that again. Richie Grant is the best safety in this class. I know he went to UCF, and you're going to go, well, what about Mooring at TCU? And he's a really good safety. But just to put it in context, he was the third safety taken off the board.
Health concerns, by the way, health concerns, sorry to interrupt you, cropped up for Mooring, which hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, but this kid, okay, is better. And I know people don't want to see that because, again, well, I didn't watch that much UCF football. This guy's a ball-hawking, playmaking kind of player, the kind of guy we need in the secondary, Mike. And he killed it at the Senior Bowl. So I loved our second day specifically. You talk about Mayfield, you talk about Grant. Then we get to the weekend, and then you go get another corner. You talk about the competition at center. Taquan Graham is a kid I watch at Texas who's a defensive tackle. He needs a little work, but I like the pick, not because of that, not because I watched him, but because, Mike, I think he fits what we're trying to do. And if he's coached up, this could be one of those steals. But I got to tell you, this Notre Dame kid, this
Adekunbo, by the way, I practiced all morning, Adekunbo Okadiji.
Yeah, Okadiji. This kid, Mike,
6'4",
270,
right.
That might be the steal of this draft for us.
Now,
it
again,
might be.
3-4, and again, a lot of guys say, what about edge rush? First off, I'll say it again. It's in my blog today that's going to be up later. Just forget whatever you think about the regime, okay? Those guys are gone. Dimitroff and his guys are gone. This is a new crew. So, again, as Carl just said, we're not going to truly know. Yeah, now you can go based on what projections tell you that we get an A+, and I prefer that to an F. You know, I had a guy like on Twitter come up to me. I was like, hey, we get good grades. He goes, yeah, can the good grades protect Matt Ryan or get the quarterback on the ground? I go, what do you think Falcon fans would be saying if we had an F or a D-? Everybody seems to like what we did. As Carl said, now only time will tell. We got a corner from a school that produces a lot of defensive backs, San Diego State, right? You know, you mentioned that in Darren Hall. We got a kid from Notre Dame who played in some really big games. And, again, maybe he's not as flash as some of the other guys, but he's perfect for what we want to do. We picked up a special teamer from Boise State who's fast as hell in Avery Williams. I mean, no, I don't know what Frank Darby can do from Arizona State. I didn't watch a lot of Sun Devil football, but I know we addressed the needs areas, Carl, the depth. We want an offensive line, and we got some guys that raised some eyebrows on defense, which I think is great. Adekunbo Okendiji.
Adekunbo
Okendiji. Well, they didn't spell it. You know, I'm not getting the phonetics. I got I go to the website that gives you the phonetics. But anyway, the kid, I don't care how you spell it. He looks like a playmaker. I'm excited.
That's the bottom line. I'll say this, too. He's long, his reach. He is another guy that went to the Senior Bowl and killed it. So, you know, there are some unique players that we got. Now, how many of these guys end up being starters? I have to believe that Richie Grant's a starter. I think Mayfield's a starter. And I also think Kyle Pitts is a starter. I think you got three starters in this draft. And then you've got some complimentary players that could have a big-time effect on your football team. Even our last pick, Frank Darby. You didn't watch Frank Darby at Arizona State.
Right.
You didn't see any of his games. Frank Darby is a player. He is a wide receiver that just makes plays, Mike. You're going to say, well, we don't need a wide receiver. Yeah, we don't need a lot of stuff. That's the point. You draft guys on the potential of what they're going to be. And Chris is back today, by the way. Welcome back, Chris, off vacation. Do you have any of that Frank Darby, Mike? This kid was so excited to be picked by the Falcons in the sixth round.
Well, I was super excited, you know. I can't even explain, like, the emotion that was going through my body at the time. It was just like I was on the phone. They tell me, like, you want to be a Falcon? I'm like, yeah, I want to be a Falcon. I see I got the red on. Like, you know. Like, it was just something, you know. So, you know, I was just excited, you know. I've been waiting all day, you know, just trying to sit here. You know, you hear from so many teams. My phone call rang one time before, and it wasn't even Atlanta. It was just a person just talking to me. I was just like, no, not now. So I hung up on them, and then y'all called. The next Atlanta call, I said, yes, y'all been waiting all day.
This kid is great. He's crazy, man.
How cool is that? I mean, how do you not get excited? Now, again, I, and by the way, I said this a few times over the weekend. I don't want to. I'm not even messing with Twitter. I'm not even. Do you guys even follow football? Just listen to the enthusiasm, okay? He's a sixth rounder. He's one of the elite, okay? Because not everybody gets drafted, and you don't have to be drafted to be a star. Nope. But I love the attitude. A kid from Jersey who went out to Arizona State, and you can go find his highlights on YouTube and check out what he does. It just, I'm excited about the clean slate, Carl. I mean, once we get past the Justin Fields stuff, and now, like, you watch Justin Fields from afar and see what he does. And then, as Carl said, in a couple of years, we'll know if we got it right or wrong. But we knew we were jammed up. So let's do the best we can with what we got. I'm excited about this, not to mention the camp invitees. So we'll see where it goes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Darby.
That's the kids laugh, man. This kid, he made me laugh when I watched that media session. Just the passion and
right.
the enthusiasm.
Right.
Okay. He's done nothing. None of these guys have done anything. But it's refreshing to see that.
When was the last time some of these people were as happy as that guy? Well, some of you miserables on social media that are pooping on everything.
Everybody always talks about, oh, who wants to go there? Who wants to play there? All of these guys are excited about this opportunity, and we should be, as a fan base, be excited about the opportunity. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live on Twitch at ATL929 The Game. Find us there. Subscribe for exclusive content. It's still the best, and we'll dive deeper into this, but after the draft is all played out, and this has nothing specifically to do with our draft class, but being in the South, we get a chance to watch the SEC, and it's still the best. The SEC put 65 players in this draft. In the first round alone, six of the first 10 players were SEC players. 12 of the first 32 players were SEC players. The SEC is still king, and that translates to the NFL. So for everybody who's transplants here, came from somewhere else, watched football somewhere else, and is sick of us talking about the SEC, this is why we do as much SEC conversation as we do. It's not just Georgia. We're talking about as a league, Mike, they continue to dominate the NFL draft. The ACC was close.
Right.
But they were second with 51 players chosen.
No, the SEC for all the reasons you just mentioned, and the defense. Look, I know in the world of college football, and we talked about this the other day, you know, it's just it's everybody scoring in the 40s now. I mean, the NFL in the 30s and 40s, college is, but at least there is some modicum of defense in the SEC. These guys know how what NFL defensive coordinators are trying to do, and they're ready to go, and they got athletes with speed and athleticism. So that's why, again, you can puff your chest out when you are that dominant, you know. It also helped, that they played football, you know. I mean, again, A guy I probably had about 4 or 5 texts and emails, and guys hit me up and going, how about Jamie Newman? Like, I didn't take any joy in watching Jamie Newman not be drafted. I'm disappointed he didn't play for the Georgia Bulldogs. But there was a lot of the strangeness with the opt-out guys. There were some guys where it didn't affect them and some where it did. There were guys that you guys were clamoring for who didn't get drafted. There were guys who went very late. So sometimes also, Carl, just to double down on what you're talking about, the name brands and the name brand franchises or programs don't exactly always put the guys in the league because they're looking for something that has to go to the next level. You were great in college, but does it translate to the next level? Not everybody's did.
The draft is done. Your thoughts are welcome. Find us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. How you feeling today? It's done. We took the test. Test is complete. We turned it in. And when you're giving these grades, please understand we're not grading what they're going to do. We're grading, did the team address the needs that it needed to? And the answer for us is a simple yes. Stukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. Happy Monday. It's the Monday after the NFL draft. Mike and I breaking it all down. Lots of great texts, tweets coming in. Guy says, Dukes, you weren't saying this about this safety a few weeks ago. Dane Brugler, who writes for The Athletic, did a great job. He put out a thing called The Beast. Mike and I talked about this. And he came on the show, and he was one of the guys, not the only one, who said that he believed that Richie Grant was the best safety in this class. I think, again, some people might get caught up in the whole UCF thing, and they, you know, well, he can't be that good. I don't know. I don't know if you got a chance to watch him or at least see some of these highlights that we've talked about, but a lot of people were high on him. I just think the Falcons, Mike, They could have had Mooring. You said it. They could have had any safety they wanted on the board, and they decided to go with Richie Grant instead.
No, and again, Mooring had some health, the things that cropped up that were in there. And again, I had him in some drafts. I had Richie Grant in some mock drafts. I mean, you know, I don't post all of them, but I had a couple out there on Twitter where I had Richie Grant in the second round. That's the other thing. I joked around about it with Squidbilly on Friday, and then it sort of happened over the weekend. This is the first draft, and I was texting you over Saturday afternoon. It's the first draft I can remember where guys I mocked actually got selected, Carl. Now, I don't know.
It's rare.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but I can tell you this. Guys who seem to fit the need, graded high, and would have been projected to go, we actually got our hands on both Mayfield and Richie Grant, so in the second and third round. And then after that, I mean, yeah, it's a little more throwing some darts, but, I mean, we got the guys, which, if they do their jobs, fit exactly what we're looking for. We wanted depth on offensive line. We wanted someone to press Hennessy at center. We need somebody who can maybe plug in at guard. Maybe you don't like Caleb McGarry necessarily. I know D-Led's always killing him every time he's on. You know, now, again, don't forget a new coaching staff, guys. Dan Quinn and that regime is gone. Whatever you thought of Dirk Cutter, he's gone. So combination of, and I know, and by the way, I've been buoyed by all the negativity about this draft, and I'm literally of the point position now where I'm so over it now. I'm back on the bandwagon, if you want to call it that, Carl, like I told you on Friday. I really do hope that this rebuild can work. I've been skeptical about it. I think our defense is still really awful, but let's see what these new guys can do, man. And the first step, of course, is what we just got done here in the draft.
Yeah, and I know this is maybe a conversation for a later date, because there are some other things we got to talk about in regards to the Falcons, and we'll get to them here in a second. We will get to the Braves. Bad weekend for Bravos, man. And then Atlanta United didn't look great. They turned right back around. They got a Champions League game tomorrow. We'll talk about. And obviously the Hawks back in action tonight. Now, they get a big win against Chicago, which puts them in playoff contention. But there's still work to do as we count down the season. So we got a lot to get to today. But let's say this, Mike, about the defense. I'm not a big guy about the yards. I know we talk about all these different categories. Mm-hmm. You're going to give up a bunch of yards in the NFL now. That's just how it works. What makes you good is just like with your offense, red zone defense. Are you giving up points? Are they taking field goals? Or are they scoring touchdowns on you? How frequently are they doing that? And if we can improve in that area, seriously, because teams are going to drive the field. Teams are going to have, you know, playmakers just like we do. This is the NFL. But if we can limit our red zone touchdown percentage, Mike, which was terrible, and we're allowing teams to come back on us, this is going to be a better team. It just will be. Just if you're able to limit that. I don't care if a team has 450 yards. Yards doesn't always equate to W's. And sometimes we see that and we go, man, look at all these yards we're giving up. You always talk about us with Julio and Matt going 20-20. There are a bunch of teams in the NFL who do that. But if you're not scoring, and if we're able to limit that, this team's going to be better. So when you say about, you know, how bad the defense is, it is, and it does need to improve. But Dean Pease, I think, has a plan, and I think he's got a couple more playmakers now that he can add to the mix.
Right, and again, I don't know what Dante Fowler's ever going to be for this team, but again, it's a lot of guys are banged up, but perhaps he's re-energized, and hopefully these guys, it's one thing we always say, Carl, the X's and O's, you know, in the Jims and Joes, and hopefully on the offense, and I think a lot of, even the Falcon fans who don't believe in Matt Ryan and this and that would say that they've not used this team the right way. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, Todd Gurley, before he broke down, they still weren't getting the most out of him. Dirk Cutter did some stuff that had you and me screaming on the radio on Mondays, you know, so, and in the stadium for the games we went to. So I'm excited. I'm just looking forward to seeing where this is going. We also found out today that Hayden Hurst is not having his fifth-year option picked up. I know a lot of Falcon fans like Hayden, but he'll be a free agent, so this will be a prove-it year for him, for better or for worse, however he's used. And we did pick up the fifth-year option, no surprise, Carl, for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Ridley, and I think Coach, maybe it was Terry Fontenot who said this last week, said he wanted to talk to both guys before making the announcement, and obviously, you know, they are aware of this. The Hayden Hurst thing is interesting, and I've been going around and around with guys because I said that there's two parts of this for me. One is the obvious financials, right? You go, okay, but I got to tell you guys something. Hayden Hurst isn't costing you a whole lot of money, okay? He's still under his rookie deal. You would have probably paid him $5 million or so next year if you decided to pick up this option. Calvin Ridley's going to make $11 million next year. So you're picking up his option, but well worth it, and he deserves it. I don't think there's any question. But with Hayden Hurst, the thing is, Mike, these fifth-year options, you talk about the guys that are gone, and I've been saying this. It's a new slate. You've gotten a divorce. She's gone. Stop worrying about her. The tradition with our franchise when Dimitroff was here was that guys got their fifth-year option picked up. And it didn't matter if you were good or bad. And a lot of times they were bad. And with Vic Beasley, for example, we all knew. We talked about it ad nauseum, Mike. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're going to do it. whether it's to validate a pick or you just think that he can be better that final year, which he wasn't. And the only time they got it right was at the end with Tack McKinley when they decided not to pick up his fifth-year option. I think the bigger message here, okay, and it has a little bit to do with Hayden Hurst, but I'm going to put this in perspective for you in just a second, has a lot more to do with new regime. Just because you come in and you're a rookie, don't expect your fifth-year option to be picked up. Now, we traded for Hayden Hurst, and I do like him, and I think he's a good player, Mike. But that is something that I think this organization needs to set a precedent with. Just because we pick you and we think you're, you know, highly of you, you still have to earn it. And for Hayden Hurst, he put up better numbers, Mike, last year than the guy we lost in Austin Hooper, who got paid top 10 tight end money. He was better. He had more catches, more yards, more touchdowns. So when you talk about we just drafted a guy in Kyle Pitts, you're right. But I got to tell you guys something. And I talked to his agent over the weekend. When this is all said and done, Pitts is not going to be classified as a tight end. He's going to get wide receiver money, Mike. He's going to get Julio or Moore type money when it's all said and done because they get bigger paychecks. That's how they're going to use him. And so, yes, he is technically a tight end, but I got to tell you, I'm interested and curious about this Hayden Hurst move when you say we got, what, three tight ends on the roster right now? Right. And now you add Pitts. Okay, I get it. Hayden can play for a contract, and if he's great, we wouldn't be able, probably able to afford him anyway. But what's the bigger message with our organization when you say, yeah, we're not going to renew your or pick up your fifth-year option? I find it very interesting.
So, again, it was also a move that our regime, the current regime, didn't make. You know, we like Hayden Hurst, but now, again, you got Kyle Pitts, and that's a game changer. Again, I thought we liked the idea of all these weapons out there on the field. We still don't know if Julio's going to be here or not. I know that we've discussed is now, I guess.
Do you think he is, by the way? Do you think he is?
The only other option is Grady Jarrett is going to have to move some money, or there's going to be some crazy cut that nobody saw coming on this roster. That's the only way I could see it. The guys that were big impact guys have pretty much already all moved their money. I don't believe Julio's been asked. I could be wrong. I'm not privy to that, but that's the impression I've gotten from what I've heard from the guys you and I speak with. But Grady Jarrett could redo some of his deal. Otherwise, they're going to have to trade Julio. Look, I mean, D-Led laid it out there on Friday. We don't have enough money to cover the draft class and everybody else we've brought in because we needed bodies, and that's how jammed up we are. Never, ever. Well, now, technically, if Julio's not here and we win the Super Bowl, I'm off the hook. But, again, a lot of guys still are not accepting or they're in total denial that there's a world where Julio Jones wouldn't be a Falcon in 2021.
Yeah, so he's set to make, what, $22 million or so this year? Julio is. I'm mixed on this. I just am. I don't know if they're going. I think they are taking calls, or they did, to see what they could possibly do. But I don't know, Mike. I'm mixed on this as far as moving him. Now that the draft is done, and I'm being a selfish fan right now, I want him here. I think we're better with him. Now, how do they make that work? That's why they got the capologist up there at Flowery Branch. You guys figure that out. But I think we're a better team with him. Can we win without him? That's been stated. Mike and I have said that time and time again. It's probably pissed a lot of you guys off because you don't want to hear it. The answer, obviously, is yes. But we are a better team with him. And now that the draft is done, and I think, okay, we're filling some of these holes, Mike, I would prefer to have Julio here.
I mean,
they can find
honestly,
a way to make it work.
I don't know what I'm going to get from Julio. I'm not a fortune teller. There's no guarantee he's going to be playing 16 games or 17 games, or he's going to break down. I just know where guys trend once they start, you know, getting there. I've had guys coming. Well, Julio's never been hurt. Well, no, but he's got issues he's always had to deal with, and there's even been times when Julio's not on the field for consecutive plays. Like, I'm not going to rehash that. I know this. We've won 11 games with Julio Jones on the roster. I can do that again with somebody else. So I'm not as tethered to Julio, because I've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, maybe the new regime could finally get number two and number 11 to equal six in the red zone. That would be a nice start. Let me say that again.
It would be. Yeah. And
I guess Chris is back from vacation because he's mocking me.
He is. Julio played 9 games up until this last season. He had pretty much played 15, 16, you know, then you got to go back, what, to the ankle thing, Mike?
It was years ago. I mean, it's almost a decade since he had the ankle injury. But I'm just saying the law. I mean, when you see guys around the league, this is, you're like, uh-oh. And you hope it's not the start of things, but you guys watching a football where you see guys start getting hit with nagging injuries as they get older.
Well, I mean, hell, it's happening to LeBron right now, Mike. I mean, in the NBA, he's never been hurt. It's almost 20 years of him playing, and now all of a sudden you see, you know, the injury against us, and now he's got these nagging things. I don't know what happens to the Lakers, but you're right. This could be the start of the decline of a great player like LeBron. It happens. I don't know if it's going to happen to Julio the same way. It's Dukes and Bell. Ridley's option picked up. Hayden Hurst, they decide not to pick his fifth-year option up. And by the way, what that means for Calvin Ridley, obviously, is his salary will be locked in for next year. And then they'll start working on an extension. If he continues to ball out the way he does, which I don't see why he wouldn't. And then, Mike, if they do decide to move on from Julio, Calvin Ridley will be paid as such. And rightfully so, because he's going to be one of the top receivers in the league. So right. I have no issues with the moves. I find it interesting, and I also think, again, that the precedent has always kind of been that we just pick up fifth-year options. It was a given.
And again, you're right. I just think sometimes there's been a level of hubris that you got to validate the big moves you've made. Well, this is a new regime where these guys don't mean anything. And I'm not saying they don't mean anything, but they don't have the juice with the new regime that the previous regime would have had, to your point. I'm with you.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to hit some headlines. What's going on with the Bravos? Lots of issues. Trae Young and company back at it tonight. Every one of these games to the end are going to count. We'll tell you why next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk more about this draft with one of our draft experts. Trevor Siakam is going to join us. I believe it's Siakam is going to join us. He is with he is an NFL senior writer with Locked On, host of Locked On NFL Draft. He's done a lot of draft stuff. Mike, he does this year-round, but he's a guy that I was following probably, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, started following his stuff, and he does a really good job. But he'll help us break down this draft, talk about the Falcons and everybody else as well. So he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We were supposed to have, just a big shout-out to Jason Longshore, feel better, bro. He was supposed to join us here literally as we speak to talk about Atlanta United, but we'll grab him later in the week. Jason feels a little bit under the weather, so we're hoping that he feels better, and we'll talk with him about where this thing goes with Atlanta United. By the way, Mike, real quick, ugly, ugly match over the weekend. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, and I felt like a kid watching the Rangers playing hockey. There was an old announcer when I was a kid named Big Whistle Bill Chadwick, Carl, and he used to go, shoot the puck, shoot it! And that's what I get watching United, like, shoot, stop dribbling, stop the one extra step or the one extra pass, put the ball in the net. All the great opportunities the other night against Philly and CONCACAF, and now we're down 3-0 to them. But this was one that matters more. It's MLS, right? Regular season too, but just things are missing. Don't have all the guys, and some of the starters we normally see got a rest because of the quick turnaround that week. But it's a work in progress. I was definitely stoked after the first couple of games, and there might be some things that Gabriel Hensay is going to have to tighten up. But we still don't have all the guys, and Joseph's still not 100%. You can see it.
So, and I'm not conceding, you know, because I'm not a quitter. It's going to be tough against Philly tomorrow. And
you're up against it. You're going to have to come out like a blitzkrieg on the road.
So the thing that upset me about this weekend was with the starting lineups, where there was no Joseph, there was no Miles Robinson, and I'm looking at the lineup, I'm going, Heinze, what are you doing? Like, are you sacrificing a league game for Champions League? Like, that's how I felt. You know, now some of those guys came in and Barco played, but that bothered me a little bit because, again, I would prefer, we always talk about this, let's win MLS. If we win it every year, I'll be happy. I know Darren and company wants trophies, but I thought there was a little bit of a sacrifice with the lineup over the weekend. All right.
Right.
Plenty more to get to with that. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris, by the way, is back from vacation. Chris, real quick, man, how was it? How'd you enjoy the beach?
Well, other than the 6-foot-long shark that we found on the beach about a football field's length away from where we were sitting, it was an awesome vacation.
Yeah. The ocean is the shark's house. We've discussed this.
Was he beached? Was he alive? What are we talking about here?
So our neighbors who are staying in the condo next to us, they go out fishing every morning. And, you know, they catch everything from little sunfish to little, sometimes some like 3-foot sharks, but nothing crazy. So the last day, Friday, we were on the beach and it was a little overcast. So I guess the tide was coming in strong with it. And then all of a sudden you see a crowd start to form. And we were like, oh, bleep. We saw the fin pop up out of the water, and this thing kept coming and coming and coming, and we were like, this is a 6-foot shark coming in from about, again, not even a football field's length away from where we were sitting, and they were not fishing deep. They were right at the surface of the water, so that thing was kind of near us.
Wow. All right, man. Well, glad you had a good time. Glad there was no shark attacks.
That's the excitement, though. That's the excitement. Man versus nature, Carl. I think that's why you go down there, man. You got to test yourself. Make sure your body responds.
I'm with you on this, though. You never think, oh, it's not going to happen here. And then, you know, when you see that activity, because Mike's been down there as well, told stories about Naples and sharks and whatnot. So
hammerheads. I've been mistaken for a seal a few times.
It's bound to happen, man.
The one that we saw wasn't going to just nibble at your feet. That thing was going to take a chunk out of you.
Yeah, that's scary. Bo Morgan's executive producing, by the way, this just in. The Patriots have picked up fifth-year option of Isaiah Wynn. Ian Rappaport, Mike, says they're likely they will decline Sony Michel's fifth-year option.
Yeah, he's not been the guy that I thought he was going to be there. You know, I thought he'd be more than, you know, the third down back. And then it just – but combination of injuries, he kind of got up to a slow start there. I mean, it's not the career I envisioned for him in New England. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, what was it, his rookie year they went to the Super Bowl? Was that here?
He was banged up. He was banged up from the jump.
Yeah.
You know, so. I mean, yeah, it's – no, he was still here. He was still with Georgia back then. But, yeah, it's just not been what we thought. Now, granted, they used about, what, half a dozen guys in the rotation.
I mean, his rookie year, didn't the Patriots go to the Super Bowl his rookie year?
Oh, yes, I'm thinking about here against us in 60. Yeah, they did. He's got a Super Bowl ring from Super Bowl 53. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. So we're just keeping an eye out. Again, Falcons making their moves. Other teams, today's the day that they have decided they're going to decline or pick up with your options.
He did get close to 1,000 yards rushing twice, 931, 912, and then last year, nine games, only six games started with a lot of injuries and stuff.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Love to hear from you guys. Poll questions up, by the way, at Dukes and Bell 929. Go vote. What grade do you give the Falcons draft? Most people right now, 47% say A, 39% say B. Some people say, can you put an A or B minus in there? No, just go vote A, B, C, or other, and then make a comment if it's the other, all right? It's at Dukes and Bell 929. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins. Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with the Braves, Mike.
Where do you want to start? Boy. You want to work chronologically? I took notes over the weekend.
Well,
how frustrated I was. No, dude, can we just say it right now?
What's that?
And I give, you know, I do give a lot of credit to our man Alex Anthopoulos for having to work on a budget, but he just plain missed on this Smiley. Let's be honest. Drew Smiley is a disaster. Five earned runs in his latest loss, Carl. His ERA is over 8 as they get smoked down there. And again, I know they're playing in a minor league facility. It's their spring training because Toronto, they're even more anal about COVID in Canada, so Toronto's in Florida. But, Carl, Smiley sucks. There's no way to quantify it any other way.
Yeah, I tweeted out Dukesism. Get him out of here. It's time. And I know you're going to say, wait a minute, we're not even a month in the season. You're saying don't rush this, don't rush that. You know.
I mean, you can. Remember, every contract in baseball is guaranteed. This guy's stealing money. Now, not as much as Cole Hamels, but I mean, geez, he's terrible. Yeah. I didn't know anything about him. We knew he. Carl, you can argue that a lot of Braves fans that didn't like the Ozuna deal, they go, well, when's Ozuna going to kick it into gear? Smiley had a small sample size last year with the Giants, was able to bankroll that into a contract with us. What's Charlie Morton's excuse? I was expecting a lot more from Charlie Morton. Carl, we spotted him a 4-run lead. The only game, let's be honest, that they had a chance to win, they lost 6-5 in 10.
On Saturday, yeah, that was an ugly one as well. I just, so if you're wondering, we didn't win over the weekend.
We got swept
by Toronto, and Ian Anderson had his worst outing yesterday, 4 runs, 6 hits. So there's a lot of issues. On top of that, you've lost Travis d'Arnaud to the 60-day IL, which means he ain't coming back anytime soon. Now, William Contreras is a hell of a young catcher. We've talked about this. He probably should have started in the big leagues, but because of, you know, wanting him to get at bats and experience, they started him in the minors and in the alternative site. Bottom line is, now this is his job. He will make a majority of the starts and catch for this team. They signed Jeff Mathis, who's a 38-year-old catcher with a lot of experience, great defensively, but not a great stick. And, you know, on top of all of that, you got Austin Riley, who's finally hitting, and then you can't win games. So, Brian Snicker, what's going on in the NL East, Brian?
I know. Yeah, it's like get on the – read the paper or whatever, and it's just the number of injuries is just ridiculous in Major League Baseball. And I don't know why. Like somebody asked, I don't know why. We had a normal spring and – just one of them things, I guess. But, we're just lucky. Everybody's kind of treading water in the division.
So we're going to trade for a catcher now that Darno's out with his thumb. That sounds like it's going to be longer than 60-day DL, IL.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know if we've got anybody who can hit in the minors that can play catcher.
Well,
have you heard about all these prospects? I mean, they might want to have to try somebody a little sooner than expected. What do you think?
Well, they added again Jeff Mathis. He's an experienced catcher. He's a guy that plays great defense. It's just, I don't expect the catcher spot to hit 25 home runs this year. Now, Contreras, if he does, great. But I don't think, Mike, they're going to go out and really address this unless this goes to crap. Meaning, Contreras is not ready to start the job or have the job, let it be his. And then Mathis is just a stinker at 38 years old. But I don't think they're going to do much more than that. Because, again, what if you've got to go make additions to this pitching staff?
But what sucks now is guys like, we heard a lot about Shane Langeliers. He didn't get to play last year because minor league baseball got canceled because of COVID. So you got all these guys, and he's 23. I mean, normally he would have had a year under his belt and would have had a legitimate chance to do something here. I mean, Darnold, it's almost like every other year. That was the knock on him, Carl. Last year he overperformed his contract. We didn't even have to, like, platoon him. He was so strong down the clutch. And then this year he wasn't hitting, and now he's got the thumb injury, which isn't his fault. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. All the things we were kind of banking on or taking for granted, including guys – and that was only his first really – let's be honest, Carl, first really bad start for Ian Anderson. But there's a lot of things that are going so funky off the rails right now for the Braves. It's early, but the trend is not good.
Let's hear from Trey.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, we know. We know, Snit. Trey Young, what's the goal, man? I mean, listen, the Hawks have qualified for the play-in tournament, which means we're in the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, we're in the tournament. You guys, we've talked about it. Seed 7, 8, 9, and 10, but we want to get better than that. If we can be a top seed 6, that's where it's at. Trey Young?
I mean, yeah, for sure. There's definitely emphasis on finishing the season off strong. You want to do that heading into the postseason? So for us, we for a lot of the guys that've been here, we haven't been in these type of situations where games are important late down the stretch. So
tonight it's Portland, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 7:30 with our man Mike Conti. Tips at 8:00, and as we said, every one of these games counts now because you're trying to maintain a top six seed. And so because of that, Mike, we don't want to drop any further, even though we've already qualified for this play-in tournament.
Did you see LeBron bellyaching about the play-in? Even he thinks he's stupid. The Lakers may actually need it with Dennis Schroeder going down.
I know, man. He said whoever came up with this should be fired. Here's the irony. I think a couple of years ago when they were talking about this, LeBron was like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Now that his team is sliding, he's like, yo, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, LeBron's out tonight. Yeah, LeBron, I mean – everybody is dealing with injuries. I think we are now tied for second or third most games lost to injury in the NBA. And Orlando, I think Houston are ahead of us or there. I mean, we've just been so decimated. But, hey, I take some solace in the fact that they're hanging in there, Carl. We get the full compliment back. We still haven't given the Sixers our best punch, right?
No, we have not.
Haven't even come close.
Hey, man, we're going to come back. What did Terry Fontenot have to say about this draft class? What about the offensive lineman we picked up? It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.